AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, are you registered for your Hamilton tickets yet?
I am not quite yet, no.
They are, this is, you basically, if the Hamilton, this is the way they fight scalpers. And it's actually a pretty effective way, as much of a pain in the tuck as it is. What you have to do is go pre-register. You can only get 4 tickets. Now, granted, a family of 5 like myself, it becomes a much more difficult situation. But you can only get 4 tickets, but you can register. You have to pre-register to go get this. And this prevents all the tickets from getting purchased up and sold via scalpers only. Now, granted, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of the scalpers have got a system around this. They basically pay people to not only register in advance, but then get tickets and then give them to the scalping agency, the ticket scalping agency. But it's kind of a case where they have dramatically limited the amount of that happening. And so there is a very decent chance you'll get some tickets here. Estimated 100,000 single tickets will go on sale Thursday, June 21st at 10 a.m. for the August 29th through October 7th run at the Orpheum. Prices range from $79 to $199. So $800 basically. And that's before the $100 or so of ticketing convenience fees you're going to have to pay. So $900 to go see this if you want the real decent seats. 4-ticket limit. In addition to online sales, a very limited number of tickets will be sold at the State Theater box office at 10 a.m. on June 21st. And that's, once again, a Thursday. So, you know, call into work sick that day if you have to. But, yeah, it's kind of the setup they've got there. Fans get shut out. There's still hope. There will be daily lottery for 40 orchestra seats priced at $10 for each performance. And some scalper tickets will no doubt wind up available. Have you ever paid the big money to go get tickets at a big event, a big sporting event, anything like that?
Nothing like that. Not even for a sporting event, no.
I have been lucky enough because whenever I've gone to like Rush concerts, one thing I've actually done is buy your ticket individually, because there's generally a lot of really good single seats available on the day it goes on sale early on. You can kind of find a pretty decent seat. Like, so Rush, I've had great seats for Rush, like row 4, row 7 one time. I was off, not dead center, but I was off to the side a little bit, but still, row 4, come on, you're going to love that.
Is that kind of a bummer, though, if you're just going by yourself?
Well, what happens is you end up going with a bunch of friends who basically end up, what you end up doing is you get in there and you'll go out for a few drinks beforehand, then you'll hang out with each other. And with the nice thing about Rush towards the end was they didn't do opening acts. So you didn't have to go down there, sit in there, listen to some guy you generally wouldn't listen to that much, and then go find your friends again while they switch the stage. But it's not the most ideal way to go, but still, I mean, what's your call? Would I go sit in the second row, dead back, you know, halfway up in the section to sit next to a friend, or do I get a row 4 ticket? I mean, that's kind of what's your favorite sport? You football?
No, that's actually a good point you brought up, because I actually did do that for the last Twins home playoff game back in 2010. Yeah, I just bought a single ticket, and I think I got a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
I don't remember the price because it was 8 years ago, but yeah, it was a good deal at the time.
And you're a Vikes fan, right? You like the football teams, right?
Twins more, but yeah, I'll watch the Vikings.
Okay, so I mean, if you found a single game ticket available at the 50, row say 12, 13, that's not a bad seat. And so you wouldn't pass that up, I don't think, too much.
I wouldn't watch an NFL game, though, even if it's a playoff game, just loud, annoying drunks at NFL games.
The last word is the correct one, the drunks. Yeah. There are some sloshed people at these games, which is, it is unbelievable considering how much money you're paying to be there. You're paying that money to be there drunk. And it's not exactly Coachella, you know?
They aren't nice drunks either.
They're not. Oh, they are. No, they're not. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Tap dance for me for a quick second while I get something set up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
What show's coming up next after me here?
So we got Janet Robert coming up after your show today. And then tomorrow we have Doug Padgett filling in 4 o'clock. So some different faces coming in.
Nice.
Including Friday. Here's the big surprise. They're putting the inmates in charge of the asylum. Hunter and I hosting on Friday, 4 o'clock hour. So.
Okay. Dude, I'm giving you guys more grief than you deserve. No, you're fine. No,
maybe we'll accidentally forget to turn the key on, so no one will hear us.
So that will be the last day you'll hear AM 950. Yeah, right. We'll be taken off the air. I'm going to guess about 4:30 that day. We'll get to FCC people running to the building.
We got the dump button ready here.
Axes to chop down the antennas. We're done with you guys. 952-946-6205. Okay, so I want to start off with something which I briefly mentioned last Friday, and I did very briefly mention this last Friday, but the more I've thought about this, the more I keep asking myself, why are we doing this? Now, if you remember, of course, we talked, Matt Pelican was Democrat of the Day on that day. We ended up having, discussing, you know, the fact that, you know, his victory led to an amazing amount of, you know, revelations after revelation as far as the governor's race, the Minnesota 5 race, the attorney general's race. And we talked about the Minnesota 5 race that's coming up here. And there are going to do an endorsing convention. And I mentioned this, and I actually on Friday posted the KSTP story on this. Fifth District is going to host a endorsing convention. Party announced convention will take place June 17th at Clara Barton Open School in Minneapolis. Congressman Ellison's decision to run for AG has resulted in a great deal of confusion and interest regarding how the DFL party will handle the primary election to fill a seat. The party said in a statement, the elected delegates in our party unit deserve the chance to express their opinion on a primary race and if they so choose, endorse a candidate. There has been some breaking news that just happened today that State Senator Bobby Joe Champion has suspended his CD5 race, his campaign. He was one of the six people that were running. He says a crowded field might simply be too large for our own good. I fear that an ugly primary fight could leave an unpleasant residue that will get in the way of a victory we need in November. All right. The comical enjoyment, do you think that the Minnesota 5 is actually up for debate? You know, sure. Yeah, there might be a race. Even if Arnie Carlson ran, there's no way in the world the Republicans would win that seat. Ilhan Omar, former Minnesota House Speaker Margaret Anderson Kelleher, State Senator Patricia Torres Ray, Frank Nelson Drake, and Jamal Abdi Abdul-Ahi are running for the DFL side. So they're going to have this endorsement convention. Why? Oh, I get it. State party officials want to have their say. All right. Did you guys pay attention to what happened in Rochester? Because if you didn't pay attention to what happened in Rochester, I still think more bad happened than good down there. Now, this is not taking away from the endorsed candidates. That's not. I mean, they got the endorsement. That is a feather in their cap. They can run into the primary as the endorsed candidate, and by all means, bon appetit. But with the vilification of the other gubernatorial candidates on the DFL side that was going on, there was basically a lot of nastiness that went out there. And I thought this was a big waste of time. I understand you got your eye on the prize. You want to win it. But, you know, pouring gasoline and throwing matches at, you know, Tim Walz to basically get the victory is going to, in the long run, dramatically hurt you. I mean, It just is. And so, you know, this war that starts off because we want to win, no, we want to win, blah, blah, blah. It's a popularity contest with 1,300 people. The primary should always be the primary. That's called the primary. It should be the primary deciding factor. That's the DFL, the Democrats of the state, choose who is the candidate they want. And I'm not saying that you don't do the endorsement convention. I think it is. But I think it always should be the primary should be the most important thing. And it's changed because there used to be It did used to be different. I'll be the honest. I got into a conversation this weekend with someone about this. And, you know, it used to be different because it used, there are two things that have changed. One, endorsement conventions, whether it's Republican or Democrat, have become far more of the party, the parties further to the extremes. You know, on the right side, you have to be a Trump at near Nazi to be, you know, at the convention. And on the Democratic side, you definitely want to be more on the progressive side of things. That's how these things work. And so today, when you go to these endorsement conventions, you're not really getting a cross section of the DFL per se. You're getting a, you know, skews more heavy. Now, once again, I think I've talked numerous times. I feel as if this party has done a huge disservice to itself moving so far to the moderate side of the party. I really do think that that's been a problem. But that being said, you know, what the whole goal of this is not to basically push one group of people's choice on other people. It's basically to get a reflection of the DFL as a whole and get an endorsement. And that, I don't think that that's necessary. It's not just the DFL. I think it's the GOP. I'm not saying you don't hold the endorsement convention. I just think the primary is the primary thing. I also think the you know, your little glowing rectangle has basically changed everything. And it used to be you kind of went into a convention, you shut the doors and everyone made their speeches and you sat there. You didn't have your phones at your hip, not only using them as a weapon to take down your enemy, but also being influenced by people saying, well, hey, by the sounds of it, you better vote for this person because the other person's horrible. And so these little glowing rectangles have changed these conventions dramatically too. So I'm not exactly the biggest fan of them. Now, once again, this is not taking away from the people that did win the endorsement. That is part of the process, but also the primary is part of the process. And the primary is the where-all, end-all in this situation. Whoever wins the primary is the official DFL candidate. And we've had numerous times in the state where the endorsed candidate does not become the actual candidate. We had a mess coming out there. Now, granted, once again, it's a good mess to have. The Republicans are so weak this election cycle. So many Democrats want to run because they feel as if this is it's their year to go. This is their year to take over as many offices as they can, to take over as many bodies of legislation as they can, get good candidates in every race. That's a good, and get challenges and get primaries. That's to a point. That's good. Having this debate amongst the Democrats is a good thing. But that is when we have the Minnesota 5 seat come open because Keith Ellison decides to run for the attorney general spot. The question now becomes, all right, now what are we going to have? We're going to have a convention with, what, 300 people? And let's not fool ourselves. The DFL primary is the Minnesota 5th race. Not saying whoever wins the Minnesota 5th race isn't going to campaign towards November. Of course they are. They're going to run, they have signs, they're going to be out there, they're going to be waving, kissing babies, doing parades. They're going to be doing that. I see that. But what you're really doing is basically allowing 300 people in the Minnesota 5th District to basically somewhat anoint the replacement for Keith Ellison, not the Democrats and all the voters per se, eventually in the 5th District. And I don't know if that's a necessarily good idea, because what's going to happen here? First of all, will anyone get 60% of the vote? I've already started to see these Minnesota 5 races start getting a little nasty. I have. There's already champions for individuals. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to say what. But there are already champions for each individual. Not each individual, but for three of them particularly, where I've already seen some nasty lobs thrown across. You think they're going to go into the convention and it's going to go over well? I don't believe that 300 people should have that much influence over one position in a position that basically, what, 800,000 people will decide on eventually in the Minnesota 5th District. I think that you doing an endorsement convention basically takes away the ability of the people to make the primary choice. But as well, all you're doing is just spraying down the hall with gasoline and telling everyone, light your matches and walk on in. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know if it's because maybe you want to, you think that the end result will be that if one person is, if what, and I guess there is one avenue I can see. If one person is the clear favorite, if wins on the first ballot, 70% of the vote, okay, I think we're all done here. We can go home. You want to use this as a way to clean out the field. Okay. All right. I might buy that. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I have zero doubt there's a few of these people have pretty strong, very vocal, very loyal groups of people supporting them. And so this idea that you're going to be able to just whittle this down on one or two votes and then everyone's going to walk out arm in arm out of the endorsement hall, duh, we're all together. No, that's not how it's going to work. I mean, you're going to have some real problems in the gubernatorial race come the general election because you've already had some people within the Democratic Party already burn other members of the Democratic Party. And that's not what you're supposed to do. And you sitting there saying, well, it's over now. You need to support the person. That's not how it works. Humanity is a little different than that. And this is why you should never gotten into the nastiness because you need those people to vote for you. You don't need to basically put your hand in their face and tell them to sit down and shut up because they're not about, if you tell them to do that, guess what happens? Then they have a tendency of doing that all the way through the election and they don't care and they don't vote. But this is going to get contentious. You're going to have a very small group of people basically trying to make themselves kingmaker. And the end result is that for what? I mean, you're the primary, we have a primary coming up in August. I mean, we're only 2 months away from it. Do the primary, be done with it, and then that seat will be a Democrat. Don't create more fissures within the party.
Let's just say each candidate has 10% of the delegates there. There's no way anyone's getting 60% because of those 10%, they're probably not going to budge to another candidate, I'm guessing.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I'm not going to say what my experience has been with the individual candidates I've seen that have gotten upset with other individual candidates already. But I will say this. I can see maybe one or two candidates merging their voters. Mm. I can't see someone getting 60%.
Not on the first ballot.
Not on the first or second. I'm guessing my gut feeling is this is going to end with no endorsement. There's not going to be an endorsement out of this convention. Or if there is an endorsement, there's going to be a heck of a lot of bad, sore feelings about this. Just get a primary. For goodness sakes, you got 2 months. Just do the damn primary. You know, if we can't trust the members of the DFL to not turn on each other in these things, which we clearly can't, then just go to the primary, say the winner takes all, and we're done. Because I think that 300 people basically trying to tell everyone else, all the rest of the Democrats, this is who you need to vote for, is especially when it's such a large district, it's pretty much a gimme Democratic seat. That's why I think the primary should happen for this one, not just an endorsement convention or not even a endorsement convention. I just don't think that there's any value in this. All you're going to do is basically anger people. You didn't have to do this. This was something they announced after all these people decided to run. They didn't have to do this, but c'est la vie. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Or you can think I'm completely wrong. You think I'm completely wrong? There should be an endorsement convention for five. Call me. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Coming back. A lot of national news to get to, some other things as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. No, I don't mind. I think that if you're having a normal, if there was a normal run for this Minnesota 5th seat, that you could have had a Minnesota 5th congressional district race, just like they do with Dean Phillips, and had the whole thing leading up to it, have the endorsement convention, if there was a primary, do it. Here is not the case because of the catalyst of things that happened after Pelican won the attorney general's position and the changes that happened in all these other races. The 5th race became open. So to try to jam an endorsement convention almost seems to be, you know, just basically, we're the kingmakers. We want to have our say. And I'm like, okay, you got a primary coming up here. You know, you've got five candidates. This is only going to get ugly. I doubt you're going to get an endorsement. Just run with the primary. Just run with the primary. And maybe I'm out of bounds. Maybe you could think I'm nuts that, you know, how dare I? Well, and you're more than welcome to that opinion. 952-946-6205. Jim is in St. Paul. Let's get him on in. Welcome in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, first of all, I want to say you're 100% right on what you're talking about. But I would like to bring up the Republicans and our stupid president, who I cannot stand. The man is an absolute Russian plant.
This weekend,
I was watching Fox. I always watch that every Sunday morning. Not one person on that panel for the first time I've ever seen this. Not one person could understand what Trump was doing, wanting Putin to come in with the Gang of Eight anymore. I mean, it's so obvious and so blatant that this guy is selling this country out. And when will the Republicans, who I always thought were decent Americans, when are they going to stand up to this Putin? You know, do you remember the story about how the Nazis, Matt, got in power? They kept pushing the envelope, and nobody stopped them when they could have. That's exactly what's going on here.
Oh, there are dramatic, and Jim, thank you very much. There are dramatic parallels between the rise of evil dictators, not just, you know, Hitler and those guys, but with Trump. And the thing that you have, which is very similar to the rise, when you look at the Reichstag and how they handed power over to Hitler, or when the Crown Prince of Italy handed power over to Mussolini, you have an establishment that basically enables. And the Republican Party, who is in control of the House and the Senate, they are enabling Trump. Not once have these guys come on out and said, for God's sakes, no. And he's bribed off Mitch McConnell. Clearly he has. It is a disturbing trend. But I will say this. I mean, that's kind of self-mutilating, having to watch Fox News every Sunday morning. Why don't you try something a little less painful, like a cat of nine tails or something like that? You know, that's... ah! Kind of very...
I'll take a root canal, maybe.
Yeah, just drive a hot metal stake right into the old thigh. That will, I mean, if you're looking for self-punishment, I can give you a lot that is a lot less painless than Fox News. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary Bear.
Well, I kind of agree with you. The primary goal is you don't always support the one you like the best. You support who you think will win. So that's what I do sometimes. But get behind the one that maybe is leading and support them. But I can remember the fracture in 66, there was the governor fight, and we lost. And then in 68, there was a fracture. And then at that time, the race card went nationwide, too. We saw what happened. The governor won one state, and who was it? Dukakis won one state, I believe, with Reagan. And a lot of working people, they left the party after being attacked by the university type crowd. And then a lot of the university crowd, their battle cry was anti-government. They hate the government. But they were still the same when they're older, make a lot of money, didn't want to pay their taxes for the government, a lot of them. Not all of them, I'm just saying a lot of them. So we got the worst of both ends. We're blamed for both the war and more protesters both. So now we're starting to overcome that, so we got to stick together. Remember, Republicans are the enemy.
Thanks, Gary. Did he abruptly end that, or did you?
It's a little bit of both there.
There's like, did we miss the Mission Impossible countdown? You have 5 seconds to just get rid of this tape? Well, thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. Here's what I'll say. It's amazing to me to watch what is technically the easiest layup in election history get turned into a mess. All it has to happen is one guy has to walk down the court and put the ball in the hoop. That's all that has to happen. Instead, let's have a long debate on, should we shoot a three-point shot even though it's not really a good shot? I mean, it's a real tough thing, but I think we can make the three-point. We don't have to go all the way down there. And then one person saying, no, do the alley-oop, do an alley-oop. Don't do a layup, do an alley-oop, do this. And it's like, no, we'll do the easy layup. We'll campaign against Trump. We'll campaign against the complicit Republicans. We'll campaign against the lack of health care. We'll campaign against the horrific what's going on in the southern border. We'll campaign against how he's trying to destroy the trade system. These are easy layups. We'll do this. No. We have to do this. And then, of course, some guy comes in and is like, why are we playing basketball anyway? I've got a 90-page thesis on why frisbee golf should be the game we're playing. And we're all sitting here saying to ourselves, Jesus, get out of the damn way and let the guy do the layup. For God's sakes, just get out of the way and stop hurting yourselves. Dear Lord, it's a layup. And you guys seem destined to shoot yourselves in the foot over and over again. And when I keep pointing this crap out, you guys reload. God. Let the guy take the layup. Or the woman, whoever we decide on. But don't make this more complicated. Don't burn down. Don't be sitting on the bench bad-mouthing the player that's doing the layup. Don't be insisting that I would be doing it differently. Don't be insisting I'm so angry about your choice, I'm going to leave and go home. Don't. Path of least resistance. This is an easy layup. Sigh. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Later on, after the endorsement convention, we'll have basically your mama fight in the parking lot. I guess that's what we're going to do. Because, you know, reasons. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Yes, international movement superstar. You know that we're going to win all these seats. How do we make sure we don't do that?
All right. You're doing a heck of a job right now, Brownie.
I want to play some frisbee golf. Now
let's play frisbee golf, damn it. Why are we playing this sport? We should be frisbee golf. I knew things were going to get tough when clearly, I mean, Trump's running a 58% disapproval rating and the Republicans are not condemning him. Just that alone. Like I said, the question you ask every Republican, who did you vote for? Because either they voted for Trump, which they don't want to have to admit, especially in any moderate districts, or they had to vote for Hillary Clinton. Because then the minute they say, well, how dare you ask such a private matter? So, well, it's funny because back in 2010, Republicans loved asking that question of Democrats because you wanted to try to hurt them by they voted for Obama. I proudly voted for Obama twice. Who did you vote for in the last election? And watch them go humana, 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 and stumble the rest of the way through the debate. No, Matt, no. I think we need to talk about our nuanced energy policy. That should be the basis and the focal point. What the hell are you talking about? I don't want the, no, low-hanging fruit, for goodness sakes. And, you know, you can talk about single payer. You know, there's a lot of Republicans, or a lot of Democrats, who are basically being, you know, they get a lot of donations from the medical industry and the health insurance industry that they don't want single payer. So they're not talking about single payer. I read about that this weekend. Now, you guys, this is easy. You do what's best for the people. Don't do what's don't outthink yourself. Don't think you're smarter than you really are. Just go with the low-hanging fruit. Have a good policy that's populist. Gun control, health care for all, not separating children from their parents at the border, not making us an international laughingstock, not annihilating our agricultural sector. You know, the little things. And go, off you go, have a nice day, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Nope, nope. 952-946-6205. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week is all of them. That's right, you can go and enjoy them all. It's Father's Day, and I'm looking forward to getting taken out by my children. I'll have to remind them, of course, on the Sunday. I'll have to remind them on the Sunday, go to Eat Local Minnesota, find me at a local restaurant, take me out. Happy Father's Day. I'm the loved one. World's best dad. I've got the cup. Father's Day, this Sunday, eatlocalminnesota.com. You'll find yourself a great local restaurant, and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. I should mention as well, Trump's coming to Minnesota. This that's the stream for Brianna Bierschbach's Twitter feed. Trump campaign announces MAGA rally Wednesday, June 20th in Duluth, Minnesota. In Duluth, you say. Oh, cripes, yeah. I wonder, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of idiots that are going to show up for this guy. It's like, he's great. But are you really going to be finding a lot of people now that he's jeopardized the entire economic structure of the state that are going to be eager to go there? I'm going to guess a lot of Wisconsinites are going to be coming over. 952-946-6205. I think it's interesting how you know, I wanted to make sure I spend the first half hour talking about the Minnesota fifth race, because I got some national stuff I got to get to. The Minnesota Supreme Court voted 5-4 that Ohio could continue using an aggressive process to remove people from its voting rolls, saying the procedure did not run afoul of federal voter protections. Houston versus A. Philip Randolph Institute basically says that anyone who doesn't vote, the ruling says that anyone who doesn't vote for 2 consecutive years, a notice in the mail will get mailed to them. And to determine if they've moved, if someone fails to respond to the notice and then doesn't vote for 4 consecutive years, so it sounds like 6 consecutive years, then the state removes from its voter rolls. Ohio had argued the process was necessary to make sure voter rolls were accurate up to date, but the challengers said they violated the federal law that prohibits states from canceling someone's voter registration simply because they hadn't voted. Ohio countered that the canceled resignations not only because of the failure to vote, but the failure to respond to the notice, which is what the 5 justices, you know, hung their hat on. They said that that is indeed the case. That and this is in, to a point. Actually, you want to know, to a point, I'm going to surprise a lot of people here. The 5 justices were just to a point going by the 2002 law, the Help America Vote Act. These were one of these rules that the W. Bush administration pushed through after 9/11. To basically drive things more conservative. It was an amendment to the National Voter Registration Act, clarified what states could do to remove people from the voting rolls. HAVA, Alito wrote, says, and the state cannot remove someone from the voting rolls only and because of their failures to vote. What Ohio does, Alito wrote, was permissible because what they do is they move to fail to vote after they fail to respond to the mailing. So the question is, do you have a right to not respond to an official government mailing to your house? The 5 justices said, HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, says, yeah, you can be removed if you don't respond to a government notice. It's not as, what's evil about this, I will be the first to say what's evil about this, is that it's not as vicious, a law like this is not as vicious as just purging 1,000 names that have ethnic sounding, you know, names in them, the people, ethnic sounding names from the voting rolls. That's evil stuff. Or basically making sure high minority areas don't have a lot of voting machines and have restricted voting hours and limited voting times and limited volunteers. That sort of thing is evil. It kind of goes on the radar. That being said, I'm also going to surprise some people here too. One of the reasons why these Republicans have been able to push laws like this is because they have been able to find – now, I think this is a moot point, but still, because someone has to vote for there to be fraud. But they say, look, these people are registered to vote. They haven't lived in the house for this long. They've been dead for this long. And that is what – when you talk about the rights fervor, then – That is where they are basically fueling it. That's the coal for their fire, that they basically believe to themselves that there's all these fraudulent people on the voter rolls. Well, the fact that there are people who are not voting, that have moved and all this stuff, and they haven't come off these voter rolls is part of the reason. That's the coal for their fire. I will also say there's a very easy solution to all this. Vote. And it doesn't escape me the irony of this whole thing. That a person who says, I'm not going to vote, well, because of their choice, we get a Donald Trump. And a Donald Trump puts Merrick Garland on the sidelines, puts Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, and that is how this case was ruled. That is how this case was ruled. You not voting is basically how you end up having this ruling. And in the end, there's a level of irony that you can't escape here. As a veteran, I have always been amazed that the amount of people in this country that like to say, I'm never going to vote. That's my right. Like that's some sort of proud endeavor. You don't understand the luxury we have of being able to choose our elected officials. And it's not only do you vote to vote for the people you like, but in the cases where you don't like either candidate, you vote to prevent the worst option from getting into office. That is why you vote. It goes both ways. And there are a tremendous amount of people, 110 in the last election, 110 million people last election decided not to vote. And because of that, we've got this 5-4 ruling on the Supreme Court. We've got Canada becoming our worst enemy. We've got net neutrality is gone officially today. And we have parents getting ripped away from their children at the border while their children are thrown into cages in Texas. All you people out there that said, there's no difference between Christians and Trump, or the, and I'm going to call very pointed, the progressive fools out there who are like, Hillary Clinton is worse than Trump. No, she wasn't. You were brainwashed by the Russians, or else you were just belligerent. There is no way on the freaking planet she could ever have been worse than this. And we wouldn't have rulings like this if she would have won. Period. No, this is, we have to vote. And what this ruling says, and I guarantee you in Republican states across the country right now, they are scrambling to write up a version of this bill to get this passed into law as quickly as they possibly can. But there's one very effective way you counterpunch this one. Vote. Or at least answer the mailer when they send it to you. But vote. Because then they can't purge you from the voting rolls. And if everyone votes, I guarantee you, it will be the worst election Republicans have ever seen in their lives. Ever. I think there is an argument that the reason why this bill exists and lives on a 5-4 ruling is because down to a point, there is some level of validity to the fact that we should be able to purge voters who are non-existent at an address off the voter rolls, that there is nothing in the voting rules that say that that person's phantom existence needs to stay in real world existence just because. The problem here is that you've got people that don't vote. You got people that vote. And what are the Republicans doing? They're writing laws that take advantage of the Democrats that basically sit there and say, I'm going to have my pouty little pity party. Stop it. Vote. It is the greatest privilege you have. You've been born with it. You've been blessed with it. Don't be belligerent enough to not understand how good that is. One of the greatest things I did was serve in the military to protect your right to vote. You counterpunch this entire law in Ohio, and soon to be everywhere in this country, you counterpunch this law by basically voting. And then there's nothing they can do about it. Nothing. 952-946-6205. Let's get Ernest in Minneapolis on, and he wanted to chime in on the Democratic primaries. Welcome on in, Ernest.
Yes, hi.
Hiya.
I wanted to talk to you about your concept of the primary election.
Okay.
I'm an old DFLer. Were you ever engaged or in any of the party apparatus?
I've never been part of the party, but I've been caucusing, I've been voting, I've been part of all those different elements too.
Well, what happens in the caucuses? People who have fire, who want to achieve things, they're the ones who rise up to the district level and then to the congressional district level. They're the ones who make things happen. Now, you have, I know just the 5th district, but every district in Minnesota had a caucus.
Well, and Ernest,
they all got together and decided, well, who should we support?
No, actually, Ernest, hold on a quick second here. Not all of them got together. It was a Tuesday night. Some people did, and some people didn't. Some people were working. Some people were in school. Some people had their kids with them, and they couldn't really go. Some people didn't. You're right, and this is not to take away from the motivation and the excellence of the people that work their way up in the caucus system up into a congressional district or on a statewide level. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it should be commended to a point. The problem I have with an endorsement convention is that these are generally not elected positions. They're screened positions. It's, you know, sometimes you go to a caucus room and there's 40 people there. Sometimes you go in a caucus room and there's two. And the fact is that I think you have to have a better system in place to make sure if you want to do the caucus thing or do these endorsement conventions, I think you need to have a better system in place to bring in as many DFLers as possible, as opposed to whoever can show up on a caucus night and then who can show up in the congressional district caucus night and then who can show up in the statewide race. Because what it ends up doing is skewing.
But that's the way the Democratic system works.
No, and
it's on the basis of who shows up.
Well, and we've said that. I mean that the endorsement conventions, when you have them, and normally we're talking about the 5th district convention, that wasn't scheduled. That's just someone trying to do something now that we have a primary to try to basically, I think, play the kingmaker. But when you're talking about the traditional conventions and the traditional endorsement things, I'm not saying you don't have those. We also have the rule about the primary, and that if someone wants to go to the primary, they are entitled to do that.
It is true that you have your endorsing conventions, and the job of the endorsing conventions is to pick the best person they think will forward the work of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of other people, like you say, that don't agree with that because, well, they want to be in charge. They want to win the seat.
Well, it's not about me winning seats.
It's not about winning the endorsing conventions. If they don't win at the endorsing conventions, then they say, oh, to hell with this. I'm going to run in a primary. And that happens. Now, it's true. The primary is the final arbiter of the party.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, but the problem that many people have is not I want my guy to win or I want my girl to win. The thing which they say, now before I get the man or woman, I'll just correct myself now, man or woman to win. But what I will say is the thing is I don't think it should be an absolute when 1,300 people in a state of 5.5 million in a political party of well over, I think it's close to 2 million people, or it's over 1 million people register as Democrats and DFLers in the state of Minnesota. I don't think 1,300 people who happen to be available in a winter Tuesday night in February is just the where all end all. And I don't think, I'm not saying you don't have, now, Ernest, hold on, my turn now. What I have a problem with is there's nothing wrong with taking the endorsement, and all the endorsed candidates are running as the DFL endorsed candidate, and the DFL is running them as the endorsed candidates. So there is a feather in the cap. There is a benefit for them winning this, but at the end of the day, the system we have created, it's the primary that decides it, and that should be the decider.
Take it one step further. Don't do a primary. Send it to the general election.
Well, Ernest, if your argument is, now, first of all, I was never arguing against the traditional endorsement convention. I'm arguing against the Minnesota 5th District doing an unnecessary endorsement convention. That doesn't seem to be really within the well interest to try to jam an endorsement convention in 2 weeks after the sign-up dates happen. But once again, overall, I'm not saying you don't do an endorsement convention. Don't go out there and start saying we should just send everyone on the primary, because that's how you end up getting, well, the worst possible candidate elected. And don't get me wrong, because what his argument is there are some people, and there are some people that get very upset and very bothered that the endorsement convention is in the where-all, because that should be the person, generally the supporters of the candidate. But the reality is, don't go the other way that say, well, the primary people, we have a primary in case we want to have people want to challenge. They want to challenge the 1,300 people at the convention? Fine. They have the right to do so with the entire Democratic base. That's the system. I just think that as far as the Minnesota 5th doing for this last second endorsement convention, all you're going to do is create more conflict, and basically it's about 300 people trying to tell everyone else who to vote for. And I'm a little concerned about that. Let's get the break in. 952-946-6205. Thanks, Ernest. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwell with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I wanted to get to net neutrality as well. That apparently is gone officially today. And of course, none of the internet provider companies are changing their policies today, although Comcast apparently has started changing some of the verbiage that they've been using. I think they're starting to set themselves up to change. But no one's going to change it immediately because they know there'd be a massive outcry. I also didn't get to the fact that we've basically turned our neighbor to the North, Canada, one of the nicest countries I've ever seen in my life, into our greatest enemy because Trump's an idiot and he doesn't understand basic trade policy. But just to get back to what Ernest was saying, there are a lot of people who feel as if you did get rid of the primary, that all of a sudden the importance of the caucus takes center stage. Still the problem with that, though, is if there's a snowstorm, basically people who have a more reliable form of transportation have more rights than people that don't. That people that are in school or have kids that they can't find a babysitter for, or you know, if they have a work that they really can't take the time off for, whatever maybe the case may be, they basically aren't able to participate. The caucus is nice. It gets those party loyal. It gets great discussion started. It gets candidates pushed out there. We get appeals. And I think it's a good, interesting way to get people involved. But once again, once you get to the caucus, the convention level, it's a limited group of people making the choice. A popularity contest, which has been thwarted and disturbed because of glowing rectangles. I still think the primary is the way to go. I'm not saying you get rid of the endorsement convention. I just remind people the primary is the where-all, end-all. Janet Roberts up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.